God's attributes were manifested to his
bride. There's something we need to know about God. God does not have double standards. That's why I pity so many people. You are saying we are all one. We are all one in Christendom. Brother, we are not all one. It's a big lie. I gave my life to Christ in redeem. But when I heard the truth, the message, I knew that where I was, I could not go to heaven in that place. We are not all one. We are not all one. Me and Christ Embassy, me and a believer of Christ Embassy, we are not going to heaven together. It's either he is right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and he's wrong. God is not going to give you a pattern and say, you, Brother Linus, follow this line. And you, Brother David, you can do anyhow. You can be unserious with anything in life, but in your walk with God, you must be certain of God. Don't approach God anyhow thinking he's going to accept you. And whenever God gives a standard, failure to maintain that standard will expel you from God. Noah did not go preaching a message that repent, repent, repent. No. The message of Noah for over 100 years was what? Come into the ark. That was the standard for his day. Maintaining heavenly standards. Somebody jam your hands together for Jesus. And before we sit down, let's bring out our sword. Luke chapter 16 and verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Let me read it again for emphasis. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. God bless you. Be seated. The topic of my exhortation this morning is maintaining the heavenly standards. Maintaining heavenly standards. Maintaining heavenly standards. What is standard? Standards are a level of attainment or quality. Standards are requirements agreed upon or imposed upon. A level of quality or attainment. Requirements agreed upon or imposed upon, maybe by an higher authority. Standards, maintaining heavenly standards. Our key word is standards, heavenly standards. In every walk of life, we have standards. In every sphere of life, in every field, there are standards. For instance, we have the Standard Organization of Nigeria. We also have NAFDAC. NAFDAC is a standard regulatory body. National Agency for Food and Drug Administration Control, NAFDAC. NAFDAC is meant to regulate, to maintain the standards of food and drugs in Nigeria. That's why whenever you buy a product, you always see the NAFDAC registration number. Is that so? NAFDAC is a regulatory body maintaining standard. If NAFDAC were properly functional as it's supposed to be, then I should have assurance that every bottle of water I buy and drink here in Lagos, I should have assurance that the water is truly pure. Isn't that so? NAFDAC. We have Standard Organization of Nigeria that also regulates standard of material, standard of things. There's even the Lagos State Building Control. It's also a standard regulatory body. I remember when we were building, I heard the story that they will come and check the iron rods that were used to build this auditorium. You know, to check what quality is it. Can it stand? Can it carry this weight? Can it do this? Standards in every aspect of life. If you should go to the professional sectors, we have ICANN. ICANN. You cannot be chartered until you go through the ICANN. It's a standard. You can't just wake up because you went to school and say, I'm a chartered accountant because you have a BS in accounting. No. You must pass through ICANN. It's a standard. Even places. For instance, Swiss Sensation. Let's use Swiss Sensation as an example. They have a standard. Wherever you are and you see a Swiss Sensation eatery, you already know that this is how their food is. This is how their food is. It's a standard. Am I communicating? If I'm communicating, say amen. What are the voices of the brothers rather than the voices of the sisters? Standards. So almost in every aspect of life, we have standards. There's the MBA. You cannot be a barrister in Nigeria without passing through them. It's a standard. Standard. And there are regulatory bodies that maintain the standard, that ensure that the standard is maintained. Praise God. In America, for those watching us, we have the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, just like our own NAFDAC here in Nigeria. What do? They maintain standard. You know, one of the problems we have in Nigeria is that these standard regulatory bodies are corrupt. A lot of people are dying of typhoid because they take pure water. Pure water that's supposed to be pure, and yet it's giving people typhoid. If NAFDAC were truly doing its job, if NAFDAC were truly functional as it's supposed to be, you should be rest assured that if you buy any bottle of water, any sachet of water and drink, that you are drinking truly pure water. But what's the problem with us in Nigeria? Bribery and corruption. Somebody who bribe his way through and get the NAFDAC registration number without them doing any proper cross-checking. That's one of the problems you have here. So there are standards in every walk of life. For you to say you are coming down with first class in the university, you reached a standard, you met with a standard. You can't have 3 points in your GPA and come out and say, I have first class. It doesn't sound right. Standards. Standards. Maintaining heavenly standards. Even heaven has its own standards. Amen, somebody. Heaven has standards. Whoever told you you could go to heaven anyhow has told you the biggest lie. Heaven has standards. From where we read in the book of Luke, it says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it because there's a standard. Approaching God generally has standards. God himself sets standards in approaching him. And if you don't meet up with those standards, you can never be connected to him. Praise God. Standards. Okay, someone will say, what is the necessity of standards? Why do we have standards? Standards are to maintain the integrity of that product. Praise the Lord. Standards are to maintain the integrity of that product. Okay, let me use clothing materials as an example. Why do you think some people like going for, Italian this, Italian shoe, Italian suit, Italian this? Why? Can anybody help me? Sir, you're saying something? Because of their quality, God bless you. That is the standard. Because of their standard. So when we talk of standard, we talk of quality, we talk of a level of attainment, we talk of requirements. Some people prefer it. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'll prefer that. It's standard. Some people flying will prefer a particular airline. Why? It's because of standard. Even you, there's a particular place you like to eat. There are so many people in this church that love to eat at Madame Clapper's. Is that true? It's because of what? Standard. So we have standard almost in everything of life. But our focus today is not for us to start pointing out the standards of every area of life. It's to point out heavenly standards to us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. You can't approach God anyhow, brother and sister. You can't approach God anyhow. You can't just come to God anyhow. God has standards. But let's talk about heaven first. Before we go to Genesis 4, let's see Isaiah chapter 63, verse 15. Why heaven must have standards? Isaiah 63, verse 15. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Praise God. To maintain the integrity of heaven, God must place standards. Amen. To maintain the integrity of heaven, God has placed standards. The Bible says heaven is what? The habitation of God's holiness and glory. The habitation of his holiness and glory. And in the eternal ages, the earth will become a colony of heaven. Praise the Lord. So it will be heaven on earth. To maintain the integrity of heaven, there must be standards. If heaven is a place of holiness and God's glory, for it to continue that way, that means not anything or any person can enter heaven. Praise the Lord. To maintain the integrity of heaven, God has placed standards. So that somebody will not just wake up and say, I'm going to heaven. There are standards. We can't just go to heaven anyhow. Why do you think Angel Lucifer was cast out of heaven? It was his unwillingness to maintain the heavenly standards that made God cast him out. Praise the Lord. It was his unwillingness to maintain the heavenly standard that made God cast him out. We see that in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28 verse 15. Let's just take verse 15. We don't have to read through all. Thou was perfect in thy ways. From the day that thou was created, the iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they are filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Brethren, the simple message I'm trying to pass forth to us this morning is that we can't go to heaven anyhow. How many of us want to go to heaven? Amen. Answer a few. Well, it's good to be sincere. How many of us don't want to go to heaven? That's evidence you're not even listening to me. How many of us want to go to heaven? Not every hand is up. Well, it's okay. This is the pillar of truth. The pillar and ground of truth. What's the essence of your Christian faith if heaven is not your vision? What is the essence of your Christian faith? The Bible says receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The message this morning is that God has placed standards. We can't. If you have really decided that this heaven I want to go there is more than mouth. There are standards. A student that is saying I must come out the best, I must reach first class at the end of my semester, is not by mouth. There are standards. He knows that there is a grade, there is a level he must attain to get that result. So also it is with heaven, brethren. This generation, Christianity has been messed up and turned upside down. That we come to church and we don't even know the essence of the faith that we are professing. Praise the Lord. Christianity has been reduced to God is now like what? A magic wand. A Father Christmas that all you know God for and approach him for is because of the problems you have. That's what Christianity has turned to today. You know, something happened this morning. I was preparing for church. I was ready. I was ready and I was watching Salvation TV. Salvation Ministries this morning. That was first service by 6 a.m. I don't know how many services they have. I was enjoying their praise. I was like, oh, well. All of a sudden, it was time for sermon and the man of God started preaching. And then he was saying something. He said his father used to play record those days. This is not my home. He couldn't even sing the song well. He had to, my treasures, you know. And he was saying something. He said, those people that sing such songs are narrow-minded. Praise the Lord. You know the song I'm singing? It's a very popular song in this ministry. He said, the world needs to feel you. How can you say you're not passing through? You need to make impact in this world. And he was downplaying the song that some of us cherish so much. I was listening to him and I was just weeping in my heart that, can you see what Christianity has turned to? With such a person, let's be very, very frank and sincere. Someone will say, don't judge. Do you think such a person can go to heaven? Let's be sincere. There's something we need to know about God. God does not have double standards. Praise the Lord. God does not have double standards. That's why I pity so many people. You are saying we are all one. We are all one in Christendom. Brother, we are not all one. It's a big lie. I gave my life to Christ in redeem. But when I heard the truth, the message, I knew that where I was, I could not go to heaven in that place. We are not all one. We are not all one. Me and Christ Embassy, me and a believer of Christ Embassy, we are not going to heaven together. It's either he is right and I'm wrong, or I'm right and he's wrong. God does not have double standards. Praise God. God is not going to give you a pattern and say, you, Brother Linus, follow this line. And you, Brother David, you can do anyhow. We see that in the story of Cain and Abel. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Two people were coming to God, coming to worship. The offering there is not seed faith offering. No. It's not seed, sow and reap. No, this is worship. The story in Genesis chapter 4 is speaking of worship. I'll read from verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass, Genesis 4 from verse 3, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto God. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, God did not what? Complete it now. He had not what? He had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why art thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Brethren, why didn't God accept the offering of Cain? From the narration of this story, Cain was even the first to bring an offering. Someone will say it's because of... No, let's reason. Let's be very, very clear. Why didn't God accept the offering of Cain? Do you know that the offering of Cain was more beautiful than that of Abel? Let's use eagle anointing and understand some things now. The offering of Cain was more beautiful than that of Abel. Cain brought fruits. Women, if you go to the market, the meat seller and the fruit seller, which one is more attractive? Sister Rita, if you are to take a selfie in the market, you know sisters like selfie today. If you are to take a selfie in the market, you have to take a selfie and you want to maybe put it on Facebook or WhatsApp, where will you stay? Beside the fruit seller that packaged that fruit, or beside the meat seller where there's blood and flies are?
I will actually go for the fruit.
The offering of Cain was more beautiful than that of Abel. Praise the Lord. Not just was it more beautiful, it cost Cain more. The sacrifice of Cain was more costly than Abel. How? Don't forget that God has cursed the ground. So he had to toil and toil to bring those fruits. I don't know if somebody is following me. God has cursed the ground. God, when God was disciplining Adam and Eve, he cursed the ground. So he had to toil. Maybe to just get an apple, he had to toil and toil to bring out those fruits. But Abel, by that time, there was no enmity between animals and man. Praise the Lord. So Abel could have easily brought a sheep and slaughtered it. The offering of Cain, read it well, was more costly and was more beautiful than that of Abel. Why was he rejected? He did not maintain the standard that God required. Praise the Lord. How can you read the story of Cain and Abel and say everybody professing Christ today, heaven at last for all of us? Let's be frank. Why do you think some of us believe the end time message so much and we are dying for it? End time message doesn't milk people of money. So if you're even looking for a career to be a pastor, it's not in the end time message. Look at the grace that some of our ministers have. Let's use our overseer as an example. With the kind of grace of God upon him, if he's looking for something else other than the right way of God, is it this message you'll be preaching like this? It's because we are trying to maintain the heavenly standard. Brother and sister, don't you can be unserious with anything in life. But in your walk with God, you must be certain of God. Praise God. You must be certain of God. Don't approach God anyhow thinking he's going to accept you. If God could not accept Cain, despite all his hard work, what makes you think God will accept you if you approach him anyhow? We will talk about water baptism in the name of Jesus. And some people say, "What? It doesn't matter. Why are you condemning everybody? Is it only your church that will go to heaven?" It's not only my church. It's only those that maintain the heavenly standards that will go to heaven. God is not an author of confusion. Let's be frank. What do you think God is? God is not an author of confusion. He cannot give me one standard and give you another standard. There's a song we sing here. There is one way. One way to the city of God. We are traveling on one way. God has no double standards. Let that sink deep. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. And whenever God gives a standard, like I said earlier, failure to maintain that standard will expel you from God. Hallelujah. See, it's easy to say Cain was rejected. Cain was rejected. But do you know that God will never call a man to judgment without first warning him? I don't know. Did you hear what I just said? If you heard me, say amen. In the upper room, if you heard me, wave your hand. God will never call a man to judgment without first warning him. Still on the story of Cain and Abel. God came down and went to meet Brother Cain. Brother Cain, I beg now, offer what Brother Abel has offered and I will accept you. Cain, do the right thing. Maintain the standard I have set down and I will accept you. But Cain, despite all his sincerity, could not maintain God's standard and his worship was not accepted. Hallelujah. Failure to maintain God's standard we separate you from him. That was what we see in the Garden of Eden. God gave them a standard. The standard was, don't eat of this fruit. When they did, they were separated from God. Hallelujah. Failure to maintain God's standard. No matter what you do, failure to maintain God's standard will separate you from him. In the days of Noah, God was going to save the world. And he gave a standard. The standard was the ark. Do you know that the entire design and measurement of the ark was given by God? Genesis 6. Let's open Genesis 6. The entire design of the ark was given by God. Can God be very detailed about instructions? Yes. Let's see. From verse 13. Let's start from verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Listen now. Make thee an ark of what? If Noah had said, which one is gopher wood? I will use plywood. Has he obeyed God? Let's go on. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is what? The fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits. If Noah had made that ark 400 cubits, as he obeyed God, he has not maintained the standard. Somebody said that for obedience to be obedience, it must be what? Complete, and it must be prompt and total. No matter how you needed salvation and whatever you did for salvation in this day of Noah, the only standard that God put was the ark. Noah did not go preaching a message that repent, repent, repent. No. The message of Noah for over 100 years was what? Come into the ark. That was the standard for his day. Maintaining heavenly standards. Brethren, I don't know how to emphasize this so much. God doesn't have double standards. Please look by your left and your right. And tell your neighbor, God doesn't have double standards. And you know, it's confusing. Because For instance, in professing your faith, some Christian sisters will dress in one way. And they'll say, this is how God has asked them to dress. And another set will dress another way. And they'll say, this is how God has asked them to dress. We are not, you see, God is not the one confusing us. We are the ones confusing ourselves. When you start injecting your own thoughts in how to follow God, you will miss him. When you inject your own idea that this is how I want to serve you, this is, you will miss him. He has a standard. And if you ever want to be a partaker of his blessing, if you ever want to be a partaker of his salvation, your duty is to maintain that standard. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God doesn't have double standards. In my own study, there are 5 heavenly standards that I think, that I believe, that we must maintain if we truly want to go to heaven. 5. It could be more, but these 5 are basic. 5 heavenly standards that if you don't maintain them, if you don't attain to this quality, if you don't maintain them, forget heaven. No matter the tongues you speak, no matter the message you give, no matter the prophecy you prophesy, no matter the miracle taking place, no matter the blessings that God is giving you, you will never make it to heaven. If it's concerning blessings, the Bible says that God makes his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. God can bless anybody. He can heal anybody. You don't have to be righteous. A stark sinner can come here from a brothel today and God will still bless that sinner. Forget it. You might be saying, but I've been praying. God has not blessed me. Now you know. You don't need to live a holy life for God to give you anything you desire. But if it's concerning heaven, you must maintain the standard that he, God, has set. If not, you will never make it. Praise the Lord. If it's concerning heaven, you must maintain the standard he has set. If not, you never make it. Standard number 1, sincerity. Sincerity. You know, sincerity is a lost virtue in the world today. And even in Christendom. Sincerity is lost. It's hard to find a sincere person today. Sincere. To be sincere, sincerity is honesty of mind and intention. Honesty of mind and intention. It's hard to find a sincere person today. God can never help you, save you. I'm talking of salvation. I'm not talking of blessings. God can never save you if you are not sincere. You know, this is a generation where we justify our weaknesses. A brother will fornicate once. You say, I fell. Fornicate 2. It's a mistake. Fornicate 3. You say it's a weakness. And yet, the same person will say it's born again. You did the first one. You say, I fell. Second one is a mistake. Third one is a weakness. And the pastor should come up. You know, I always laugh in bride assembly. Our pastor will come. He will preach, give his own testimony. Give his own testimony of how God has saved him and what God has done in his life. Then he will say, if you are sure, if Jesus should come now, you go, stand up. 90% of the church is up. I go, they look. Eh? You mean this person too will go to heaven? If you are not sincere, see, better is a sinner, an unbeliever, before God than a hypocrite before God. You can't even have repentance if you are not sincere. Because repentance is an estate of you are broken. You are convinced. Then you are concerned and you want to change your mind concerning something. If there's no sincerity in you, how will you ever produce repentance? This is the day where we all profess Christianity. Everybody, I'll go to heaven. But in your mind and your intentions, you are contrary to what you are professing. You're insincere. Somebody will have a weakness. You know something is wrong with you. And the Bible has said, the people that do such will not go to heaven. For instance, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Let me make a point. This is the Bible. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen, it says what? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves to mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now you will know you have such a weakness in your life. And then you are waking up saying, I'm on my way to the glory land. Are you sincere at all? Are you sincere at all? Everybody is going to heaven today. It's not by mouth. It's not by mouth. The first standard in my own study that we must maintain is sincerity. God can never work on you and help you do a work of conversion in your life if you are not sincere. Brother and sister, I want you to begin to look inwardly and think deep. Are you really sincere with God? Who are you pleasing? When the pastor will ask you, if you are sure you are going to heaven, stand up, and you are standing up. Is it to get the applause of men, or is it because you are sincere with yourself? It's not a sin for you to sit down and say, Lord, you can say I'm not standing up. I still have this weakness and shortcoming. Father, walk on me and help me. But rather, we become insincere with God, insincere with ourselves. Praise the living God. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. This is the Old Testament. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in what? Sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. God requires sincerity in our worship. He requires sincerity. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You cannot approach God without sincerity and expect him to accept your worship or your service unto him. God requires sincerity, honesty of mind and intention. You know, all of us as Christians, we refer to ourselves as brother, brother, sister, sister. But if we are to be sincere with ourselves, the person you are calling brother and sister, is he really your brother and sister? Because amongst us, there's still tribalism of the highest order. I see people labeling me, this Yoruba boy. Then I'll see some Yoruba people labeling people, these Igbo boys, in the Church of Jesus Christ. And then we'll come and say, you're my brother, you're my sister. Let's be sincere with ourselves. It's better for me to know, oh, we are not your brother and sister. I'm only acquainted with you. And let me maintain my lane. Than for you to insincerely deceive me. This is a generation where people laugh with you. But behind you, oh my God. And I'm not talking of outside the church. I'm talking of within the church, inside the church, even Bride Assembly Church. Insincerity. Insincerity. You can't even trust a brother to do business with a brother today. You can't. Out of church mind, as we say, church mind, make her just do business with this guy, or make her borrow this guy money. Insincerity everywhere. And we take it also in our approaching God. When you are saying something and you are meaning something else in your heart, God doesn't take you as a serious person because you are insincere before him. An insincere person can never receive salvation from God. Praise the Lord. An insincere person can never receive salvation from God. When the word of God comes to you, you must see, the gospel has come to do two things. The first thing is the gospel eats you, it condemns you. Praise the Lord. When the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ eats you, it firstly condemns you. You see your wretchedness. For all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the second arm of the gospel is that it now gives you grace. It justifies you, gives you righteousness. But being justified freely by the gift of God. He said, for the wages of sin is death. That's the condemnation. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you are insincere with your estate as a Christian, you know, brothers and sisters, especially the young ones, the youth, don't wait to fall into fornication before you know you're a fornicator. Lust is in you. The opposite gender passes all the time and you lust. You know it's just a matter of chance. That should send you into prayers. Lord, something is wrong with me. Not until you fall. Praise God. That's what sincerity does. Sincerity is necessary if you want to go to heaven. Sincerity is necessary if you want to go to heaven. You must be sincere with God. Your present estate, your present condition. You don't play games with God. Is it somebody that sees your heart that you are being sincere with? Insincerity everywhere. Even common payment of tithes. How many of us are sincere? Tithe is supposed to be 10%. If you give God 9.5%, are you sincere? You know, if you have profits that you have to make from everywhere, you calculate it to the letter. My profit in this is 10%. My profit here is 5%. My profit here is 2%. And you will make sure your money does not reduce by one couple. But in payment of tithes, where is the sincerity? If your tithes, for instance, is to be 10,000, some of us will put 9,000 naira and say you have paid tithes. And before God, you think you have paid tithes. Insincerity. Insincerity. Almost in everything we do as Christians today. The news is you can't go to heaven with insincerity. We must maintain that standard. We must. And there are things that will arise to prove your sincerity. Praise God. It's easy to say you believe. Malachi 4:5-6. I believe. Okay, the origin. Now life. It's easy to sing and say you believe. I'm on my way to the glory land. It's easy to. This will arise to prove your sincerity. Do you sincerely believe? Sincerity. Praise the living God. Is a standard we must maintain. God hates hypocrites and pretenders. Be yourself. Be plain before God. Are you smarter than him? Somebody, I don't understand how we reason. God is not man. He's not man. You don't play games with him. Better is a sinner that comes before God. We see the story in Luke chapter 18. The publican came and he was like, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner, this and that. Then the other one came. I'm not as other men are. I do this, maybe because it's not fornicating or stealing. Then he was boasting before God. Luke chapter 18, the Pharisee and the publican. But the Lord Jesus said, that publican went down to his house more justified than that Pharisee. Because if that Pharisee were really sincere with himself, he would have seen inner weaknesses. That time there was no Holy Ghost baptism. He would have seen weaknesses that the Lord could not take away in his life. And he would have really been asking God, Father, I still have this weakness. I'm not doing this, but this is my estate. Let's be sincere. If the Bible says we are supposed to be like Jesus, Pastor was sharing his own experience with us on Rapture Watch one day. He said when he became a Christian, a new believer, like the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 6 and then Galatians 5, he listed out the works of the flesh. And every day at the end of the day, we look at the one, oh, this one, I passed. This one, I did not pass. This one, I passed. That's what sincerity. The Bible says the path of the just is like a light that shines more and more. In other words, your Christian life is to be on, you're supposed to be progressing. It's supposed to be on a geometric progression each day. But you've been a Christian for 10 years and the same vices, the same lie telling, the same weaknesses that you've had 10 years ago are still in your life today. Sincere, be sincere with yourself. Are you really growing? Then how will God help you when you are not sincere with yourself? Father, a Christian is not supposed to lie. Lord, under pressure, I've lied today. That is what sincerity. Give me grace to overcome this. Not that you just feel. Sincerity is, it's connotes being convinced and being concerned. We must be sincere if we ever want to go to heaven. God has no time for hypocrites.
Who are you deceiving? There will be a great disappointment at the gate of heaven. If there's a gate. If there's a gate, there will be a great disappointment. Because so many people will be dancing there. Ah, heaven at last, heaven at last. And then you get there, they'll tell you your place is not here. And the Lord Jesus gave us that picture. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? And yet you'll say unto them, depart from me. You insincere people, I never knew you. Insincerity.